I do have a song.
Bless
him. I should have sung this probably when the choir was up here.
Bless him.
I didn't want to get in the way.
Bless him.
On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord, he suffered for me. Carried the cross along the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross. Great was the pain and the loss. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Then they carried him away, placed him in the lowly grave. Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man. But on that third and glorious day, God came and rolled that stone away. He arose from the grave because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross he was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.
Amen. I was thinking this morning about the word redeemed. And there's a song that says redeemed is such a small word, but it means so much to me. And I was listening to the things that they were saying as songs being sung and talk about heaven. And Brother Bob was kind of giving us words of encouragement during the prayer request. And about what heaven's going to be and just what we feel here. Brother James sung the song back of the book, says we win, and just everything that the Lord has done. We ought to praise him. And as good as it is here, I thought, we've not seen anything yet. We've not seen anything yet. It only gets far better from here. I'm so glad I'm saved. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Luke. Familiar scripture to all of us. We all read these passages of scripture, but this is what the Lord's put on our heart today. I'm going to be reading quite a bit. I'm going to try to hurry along. It's about 36 verses or so that I'll be reading, so I'll try to hurry through really quick. Luke 24, if you've got your Bibles. If you want to stand, that's fine, but due to the length of the reading, if you want to continue to sit, that's fine too. Bible says this in Luke 24, verse 13. It says, and behold, two of them that went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlong, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he brake bread and blessed it, and brake it, or took bread and blessed it, and brake it, break and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? But while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And he said, and when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins that should be preached in the name among all nations, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now we can be seated there if you like, but we know that he led him out of the city, and he went out, and as he began to ascend up into the heavens. But as we look at this portion of scripture, I thought this morning as I was reading at the house about the things that Jesus had done, and I quite simply began to just marvel at how good God is. Oh, what a Savior that we do have. And that this morning, if I could maybe take just a moment of time and preach up what the Lord has put on our heart to you this morning, I hope that it will bless you, and I hope that it will encourage you along the way. But what we find here in this portion of the scripture is what that Jesus had already been taken to Calvary. They brought him to Calvary. They nailed him there. They hung him there. He was there for several hours. And we know that, that he gave up the ghost. And we know that, they had taken him down off of that tree. We know that the earth shook, or it got dark in the middle of the day. We know that, the Roman centurion there, he proclaimed that surely this was the Son of God. We know all the things that happened at Calvary. But then we know, that Joseph of Arimathea, he begged the body from Pilate, and they put it down in the tomb. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, I believe it was, they tried to prep the body for the burial at the time of the Passover. And while they had put on fresh linens, and while they had done all the preparation they could do The Bible says that there were women there. They would, began to take the ointment and the herbs, and they were going to let them set up until the time where they could come down to the tomb on the Sabbath, after the Sabbath Passover was done. And we know that the body was there 3 days. And on that day, the Bible says that they had come early in the morning with those spices and with the oil to anoint the body. But the body of Jesus was no longer there. And listen, the Savior was not dead. He was alive. Thank God today. And the Bible tells us that as they went back and they told the disciples and the men that were gathered in Jerusalem of the things concerning what they saw. Listen, after they saw the two men in the chamber, and they said, "Why are you here seeking the living among the dead? I'm glad he's still alive today." Listen, and so it was that the Bible says that they pondered these things in their heart, and Simon, Peter, and John went down to the tomb, but Jesus wasn't there. Hey, listen, but what they found was a grave clothes folded and the napkin folded, and they went apart, and they were still thinking and pondering on the things that they had saw. And while they were pondering, the Bible says that these two men began to walk upon this road. Hey, listen, and they were walking there on their journey, and the Bible says as they went, Jesus come along the way. Listen, and he began to sit right up next to them and walk the road with them and journey with them there. And they began to tell him about the things. He asked him, "Why are you so troubled?" Yeah. Oh, listen, the Bible says that they walked along and they said, "You must be a stranger. I just read it all to you." But it got down to the time of the end of the day on their journey on that day. And it says that they turned themselves in, and Jesus would, as if he was going to go by, they constrained him to come into the house. Oh, listen, I begin to think about some of the times we go on life's journey. And sometimes our heart is broken, and sometimes we don't understand the things that are going on around us. But I am so glad, even when we cannot see God, we might be on the road, and we might be on the journey, and we might be in the middle of turmoil, and we might be in the middle of trouble. But we might not be able to see him, but I'm glad he always sees us. I'm glad he walks with us. I'm glad he communes with us. Listen, I'm glad he teaches us and talks to us. And there's times when we can walk on the journey and feel like that that God don't even care. But I'm glad if we just open up our hearts, we'll find encouragement for the journey, because we'll find that we're never alone. Listen, I'm glad that when they turned in into the house, hey, listen, they constrained him to stay. And as they were there and began to break bread, all of a sudden the Lord began to pray. Listen, when I'm so glad that when he finally began to break bread, the Bible says that Jesus opened up their eyes. In verse 31, their eyes were opened. They weren't opened by themselves, but they were opened up because God was there, and he began to enlighten them and show them exactly who he was. Do you remember the day when you were lost and without God, and the Holy Ghost come by your way and opened your eyes to where you stood, and you realized that you were not alone? You didn't have to live alone. You don't have to die alone. You've got a Savior that loves you and cares about you. I'm glad, Brother Chester, that Jesus is the only one that can open eyes. Some might say, "Well, Victor, don't you know we got doctors today that can do miraculous things to the physical body?" Hey, listen, I know that we have them among us, but they can do absolutely no good to the spiritual man like Jesus can do. And I'll say this, and I'll go this far, and I'm not ashamed of it, but I'll say that there ain't a doctor in this world, hey, listen, that I would want working on me if it become between them and the hand of God. Give me the hand of God any day, because I know he's a physician that never fails. Hey, listen, he can operate on any part of this old body. He can operate on the inner man and the outer man, and he can do it all. Hey, listen, we don't need a specialist. We've got God. Hey, listen, he is the one and only. And here we find that he opened up the eyes of those men, and their, when their eyes were open, they remembered that their hearts were burning at the words that were being spoken. I'm glad when the Spirit began to speak to us and open our eyes. Did not your heart burn inside of you? Did it not burn inside of you? Oh, listen, and you knew that you needed something that the world didn't have. Hey, listen, I'll say this today to those of you that have been born again. I'm glad when God causes our hearts to burn, because we know that we're in the presence of God, and we can feel his love and his presence around us. Oh, what a Savior we have. The Bible says never a man spake like this man. Oh, listen, the Bible says there was such authority and power in his voice. I believe in one time they had Jews and they had sent the people out there to inquire who he was. And listen, they come to him and they said, "Are you Jesus?" And he said, "I am." I believe that's what he told them. And it said just the power in his voice caused him to fall backwards. And listen, when he wants to show himself in power, he shows himself in power. When he wants to show himself in love, and he shows himself in love. When he wants to show himself, hey, listen, just as a dear friend, he shows himself as a dear friend. And listen, he is exactly what we need for the time that we need him. And I'm glad that he still works that way today. There's times when he burns. Listen, we burn inside. There's times he corrects us. Times he shows us. But really, the thought that I had and what I wanted to bring about in that portion of the scripture was that Jesus opened their eyes. He's the only one that could. And when he opened their eyes and they finally realized that he removed himself right quick. But notice what the Bible says. These men were on the road and they had traveled. And I don't know how long they had traveled. But they went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And I didn't look up how far that was. But you can look it up and we can run references. But that's about 60 furlongs, I guess, is the distance. But notice what happened. After their hearts got lit up, and Jesus just set them on, and they realized who they'd been with. Man, they went back to Jerusalem and they went to find out those disciples and find those people. And they said, Hey, we know that he's alive. They were worried and they were concerned because all they had heard was the witnesses of the women that went down there. And all they had heard was Simon Peter. Hey, listen, and the witness that they had. And they said that the Lord had appeared unto Simon. And you can read over that and over the book of Corinthians. The Bible tells us that before Jesus was seen of anybody else, he appeared unto Simon Peter. Paul wrote that over there. Hey, listen, I don't know what conversations they had. And the Bible doesn't give us any insight to that, but nonetheless, these men knew that the Lord had appeared unto Simon. So Peter must have told him that he had seen him at some point. And so it was. But even when Peter told them, they still had their doubt. But these men come back and they said, "We've seen him for ourselves." Hey, listen, don't you remember when people told you how good it was to get saved? But until you got saved, until you found out for himself, you were never really able to stand up and say, "I've seen him. I know he's real." Hey, thank God, I'm glad that I can stand here today and say, "I know he's real for myself and not anyone else." Amen. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We know he's real. We ought to be standing up saying, "I know God. I know him not because a preacher told me. I know him not because mom and dad raised me in church. But I know him because I met him and I've seen him and I've talked to him for myself. He's opened my eyes. He's opened my heart. He burns in there. He yearns in there. Hey, listen, my spirit groans when I'm in need of a touch or in need of his presence. And thank God he always hears me." The Bible says they went in that went back to Jerusalem and they were there telling, man, they were, I believe they were excited. Dylan, I believe they were there telling, "Hey, this Jesus, he's alive. We saw him for ourselves." Listen, and all of a sudden as they were bearing witness and they were testifying to the presence of God and that he was met them along the way and they were testifying to the words that he had spoke to them from the laws. Hey, listen, from Moses and through the prophets and everything that he expounded of the precious word. What happened? All of a sudden Jesus stepped in the room where they were. I'm so glad today whenever we gather together one with another and we start praising God and start testifying of God and we start talking about how good God is, it ain't long before the Spirit steps into the room. Thank God. Jesus knew the conversation. And when he stepped into the room and he beheld them there, hey, listen, what did he say? He said, "Peace be unto you." In other words, he knew of them. He knew they were there. He knew they were troubled. He knew they were tore up. And he knew that here were two more men that had come into the room and told him that he was alive. But the Bible says, I believe that they still had doubt. They still had doubt. Till Jesus come and stepped in a room for himself. I don't know how long of a journey it was. I would imagine it took them boys longer to get there than it did Jesus. He just appeared. Come into the room. He's God. I'm glad when he just comes into the room. in the midst of them. He wasn't on the outside.
Right.
He wasn't looking in. He wasn't eavesdropping. Hey, listen, I believe he just showed up right in the middle of all of them. And there he was, and he said, "Why are you so troubled? Why are you so troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts?" He said, "Come and behold me, touch me, handle me, I'm here." Hey, listen, he began to just put their hearts and their minds at ease. And some of them perceived him to be a ghost. And some of them had perceived him to come from the dead. And they didn't quite understand what was going on. But just to prove that he was who he was, and that he was not some sort of a floating ghost around or some a spirit, he said, "Won't you give me something to eat?" Hey, listen, I believe he did that for an example unto them, to let them know that he was there in the flesh. He was there real among them. He was there risen, alive and well. And thank God. And as he began to eat, they began to look and behold him. And then he just began to teach them. I'm glad today when Jesus comes into the midst, what he does when he comes into our midst is prove how real he is. Listen, I know we live in a world, and I've said this last week or maybe during revival, I know we're living in a world, they're trying to put every other religion on the same plane as every other. Hey, listen, you talk to society and they'll say, "Well, you've got the religious doctrine and religious belief, and they're all over here. And you've got societal beliefs over here. And you've got good morality over here." And they're trying to put them all on the same plane. But I'm here to tell you that my Lord is not on the same plane with mankind. He's not on the same level with the religions of this world. He is high above everything else. And he's to be reverenced and glorified and lifted up and praised and worshiped for who he is. Jesus stepped into the room and he told him to handle him, touch him. I mean, he could have said, "I just died for you, but I'm risen for you." Amen. He told him, he said these, and he began to expound to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you." They were too busy sometimes beholding the miracles. They were too busy seeing what he was going to do next. And sometimes I believe the things he was trying to teach them was just going right over their head. He was performing all these wondrous works. He was doing all these marvelous things. But then he would steal off and he would tell them things and teach them things. And some of those things went in one ear and out the other. I believe that. Hey, listen, because I know they are no different than we are. And sometimes when we see God do great things, or God demonstrates himself in a great way, it'll go in one ear and out the other. When God sends a message down, it could help us and lift us up and encourage us. Sometimes we let it go in one ear and out the other, and it's only later when we get down on our hands and we get down on our knees and we're praying, asking God for help, God for help, God for help. He reminds us that he sent us word. That's what Jesus was doing here. He said, I told you all of these things. He was trying to encourage them then. He was trying to lift them up. But then he did something else in verse 45. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." I told them, I've said it here in the past, and it really just kind of hit me. I said it last week in Olive Branch when I was over there for the Friends and Family Day. I'm always amazed at how God's word is. We read it and we read it and we study it and we meditate upon it. We pray about it and the scriptures that we read over and over. But then you can go to it and you can open the book and it pops off the page. I thought this morning I was sitting there and I said, well, we know that the Word of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest love story ever told for mankind. I mean, it is God breathed. It's God loved. Everything he did in here was strictly out of love towards you and I. Everything that Christ suffered was out of compassion and love for you and I. That we would never have to be separated from God. That he would redeem us. And hey, listen, we would be reconciled back to him through the blood of his own Son. That Christ, the precious Lamb of God, had come to this earth in the form of a flesh and for sin, and took our sins upon him. And he nailed him at Calvary. And he got up the third day. And he come victorious over all sin, over death itself, over hell, over the grave, so that he sat down at the right hand of the Father, that you and I could have opportunity. Hey, listen, that we could go to heaven and be forever and ever with him, and none of us would ever have to be separated. And as precious and as deep, hey, listen, and as special as it is, the same word of God is just like a pop-up book that a child has, because we can get into it. And when God opens our understanding to the Scripture, it is not difficult to understand. It is easy. And listen, we can be reminded of these things. God can reveal these things to us, and He can expound upon the Scriptures to us, and we can learn of these things and understand of these things just like a child. I've had people say, well, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible is too difficult. Won't you get into it and pray and ask God to open up your understanding? Don't get so caught up on the yeas and the these and the thous and the theys, and start asking God for help, and He'll reveal the Scripture to you and all of its power. And all of a sudden you'll get by all those things, and God will begin to stir in your heart. He said, then He opened up their understanding. I'm glad when God opens our understanding. There are things in this world that we go through that we will shake our head at. Listen, we'll say, I just don't understand that. There are people in this world that we'll come in contact with, and no matter how hard you try, it's just like they just, you're never going to agree on anything. You just say, you can shake your head and say, I just don't understand them. Hey, listen, but I'm glad that when it comes to the Scripture and it comes to the love of God, hey, listen, I'm glad that God understands each and every one of us. He knows how to speak to us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to open our hearts. He knows how to open our understanding. Hey, listen, and I've thought about this with some of the testimonies that went on today. There's things and there's people we may never be able to reach, but I'll say this. Don't ever give up praying, because God can get a hold of their heart. He's the only one that can. And I know sometimes I have to remind myself of this often. Sometimes we want it done now. We do. I mean, we're creatures of we just want immediate action. When we see a problem, sometimes we want to solve it. We want to go to it and just resolve it right then. Hey, I'm guilty. I don't like for rumors to be spread. I don't like for lies to be told. And when I hear things like that, I just want to resolve them now, get them behind me, and just get it settled. I mean, that's just our nature. We don't like those things to go on. When it comes to our lost people and it comes to our loved ones, we just want them to be saved now. I mean, right now, why don't you do it now? Now's the time. I mean, the Scripture tells us now's the time. Today is the day. Harden not your heart. Come and be saved. And when it don't happen, sometimes it's human nature. We get discouraged and we ask God, why aren't they lost? Why aren't they getting saved? They come here. They've heard the message. Let's let God do His work. While He's working, let us just keep praying. We don't need to question Him. We just need to keep praying. We just need to take them to the altar. Lord, You know their heart. I'm waiting on the answer. God, I'm going to glorify You and praise You when it finally happens. And I'm going to glorify and praise You now. And I'm going to glorify and praise You tomorrow. And if I don't see it tomorrow, I'm going to glorify and praise You then too. And the next day and the next day. Because we know that no one else can do for them what God can do for them. And we know that when God finally begins to work on them, it's going to be up to them and it's going to be their choice. Hey, listen, and when the choices are made, hey, listen, there's nothing we can do about it. But oh, how we can continue to pray. And I believe that the Bible tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe we can pray the power of God so strong upon them that they'll feel like that they have to go, or they're just going to leave this world and go straight in the depths of hell. That's how I felt. I don't know who was praying, but they were praying right. Because when the Lord finally got a hold of my heart and opened up my understanding, I knew exactly what my eternity was going to be. No one had to tell me. No one had to explain hell to me. No one had to try to convince me about the separation from God. No one had to try to talk me fear to where I'd be fearful of the outer darkness and the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth and the bottomless pit and the fire that was never quenched. No one had to tell me all that. Those were things that I would hear, and you couldn't imagine them. They were unimaginable. But when God opened up my understanding, I realized how real hell was. And when God opened my understanding, I got afraid, because I realized where I was headed. And when God opened my understanding, I also realized and finally understood for the first time the compassion that Jesus had and the love that He showed at Calvary. What happened? He stepped into the room. Stepped into the room. Church was all gathered. Opened my understanding right in the midst. And then He said, come and handle me. Behold, here I am. What a Savior we have. And in Matthew 28, the quarter of these same passage of scriptures, this was a time when Jesus was going away. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he tells the disciples, and we're going to ask Brother James to come get a song. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're not alone. We might feel like you're on an Emmaus road sometimes, and you might feel like you're just walking along and Jesus isn't there. But I have a promise from the Master.
Amen.
That He's with us. Amen. Even unto the end of the world.
Yes.
As long as I live in this life, He's with me. As long as there's breath in our body, He's with us. As long as time stands, He is here.
181.
The Bible says He's not far from any one of us. And I'll say this, lost person, if you're here today, He's not far from you either.
That's right.
You might not see Him, but that don't mean He's not close. All it takes is one simple prayer of faith, one earnest prayer.
Right.
And listen, just to call upon His name and He'll be found with you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of Savior we have.
Amen.
Savior full of love and mercy.
Yeah.
Gave His life for you so that we could be reconciled back to Him.
Right.
You don't realize the danger you're in. I didn't realize the danger I was in. I'll say this, mankind does not fully understand the danger they're in when they're lost and separated from God's love. If they've not called on the name of Jesus and they're on that road to hell and they're traveling there so unconcerned, I'm glad that the Lord will come by. I'm glad when He begins to open up, He opens your heart, begins to stir inside of you, stands in the presence and in your midst, and opens your understanding to the Scripture. I had heard stories of the Bible. I didn't read my Bible a lot. I had one, two that had been given unto me, but I knew it just as a story. There's a difference in reading it with your eyes and trying to comprehend it with your mind, and then having the Spirit of God open your understanding to the Scripture. And when He opened your understanding to the Scripture, that's when I got saved, because I realized I was lost. And since that time, He continues to open up my understanding to the Scripture. I don't know at all. None of us do. None of us ever will. I'm convinced of that. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to ask Him questions. But I have a feeling that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be concerned about answers to my questions. I'm just going to be enjoying the moment and enjoying heaven. Let's stand to our feet today. I don't know the needs of anyone here, but God does. He knows where you stand. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. If you're here lost, I can say this, and I'm not going to tell you anything different than I've always have. You need to be saved. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that. You must be born again. Born of the flesh is of the flesh, but being born of the Spirit is altogether different. A fleshly birth will give you a time on earth, but you're not promised how long it'll be, and you're not promised where you'll be, and you're not promised a whole lot of things. You just exist on this earth. You might enjoy some of the beauties of the things around you, or you might suffer sickness and heartache all your life. I don't know. Those things happen. But a spiritual birth is one of everlasting life and a sure end. Having a spiritual birth in Christ is one that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is one that ends with no pain, no suffering, eternity in heaven, glories of God surrounding us forever and ever. No more heartache, no more suffering, none of those things. Spiritual birth is the one most precious. As precious it is as it is to hold these children, these little babies, and as innocent as they are, and as cute as they are, and as much as we love them, the spiritual birth is far more precious. And I would say that if you are saved, you know when that took place. You remember it. It's a special place in your life, a special place in your heart. It's a place, you'll spot, a time you'll never forget. No one has to remind you. You don't have to go asking anybody when it was or the day it happened. You don't have to ask those questions because it's deep down in your heart. So that's why it's important. That's why we come and we preach. You must be born again. Preach, you got to have a spot. You got to have a place. A place that you know. A place that no matter what comes your way in life, no matter how far down the road you get in life, and no matter how bad things can be or possibly turn, that you have a spot to come back to where you know where you met God. You've got an anchor there. That's a place that Satan can't take you past. You can always go back to the time when you met the Lord. And I'm glad He always reminds us. Oh, don't get me wrong. I hope and pray that you've got many memorials in your life where God has blessed you. And I've preached that in the past. The day we got saved is the most precious day that's ever happened to our lives. But God has many other special, precious, wonderful times in life where He's blessed us along the way. So we ought to have a collection of blessings, a collection of things that we can go back to and thank God for and look at and see God's presence in our life. And if you don't have any of those, I would encourage you to come. The church is here. The Lord's here. Christ shed His blood for all mankind to seek and to save that which was lost. Anything on your heart, testimony, word you'd like to say?